Hi, this is Daniel Garber at the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, TIFF 2012, the huge film festival that started yesterday, is readily apparent everywhere you look in downtown Toronto. People here are usually withdrawn and polite in Toronto, but with so much glitz and glamour in town, everyone wonders if that person over there in dark glasses is really an actor, or maybe a director. Usually I'm anonymous, I'm on the radio, but suddenly every passerby around the TIFF Bell light box in the Hyatt Hotel, that's where the registration offices are, seems to study my face just in case I'm someone really famous. So if you've never been there, let me tell you a few things about it. First, it is enormous, with more than 300 movies from 65 countries playing over the next 10 days. But don't be intimidated. I just came from a screening of a North Korean dramedy about a coal miner's daughter who wants to be a trapeze artist. It's called Comrade Kim Goes Flying. And it's filled with lines like, "We are the working class, so fly with our willpower, Kim." Things like that. Okay, so just find a movie you really want to see. Check online at tiff.net at 7 in the morning, and that's when they release the new tickets each day, so you have a good chance of getting something you want. So today I'm going to talk about two really good French language movies playing at TIFF. One's an Austrian film about an elderly French couple who choose to live out their lives in their own home. The other is a Canadian film about a child in Central Africa who's torn from her home to fight in a war. First, Amour, directed by Michel Haneke. So Georges and Anne, a retired married couple in their 80s, played by Jean-Louis Trintignant and Emmanuel Riva, have a nice apartment, attend concerts, read books, share meals, generally just enjoy their lives. They used to teach classical music and are pleased to see their former pupils becoming musical superstars. Life is peachy until one day everything changes. Over lunch, Georges tells Anne the salt shaker is empty, expecting her to refill it, but instead she just sits there unresponsive. And although she later snaps out of whatever was, it shakes up the power dynamic of their traditional rules. Soon, following doctor's tests, they discover she's ill. But Anne, because she hates hospitals, makes Georges promise never to send her back to one of those. She wants to live at home. So she entrusts her future with Georges. He's a monster sometimes, she says, but a very kind one. So gradually she begins to deteriorate physically, mentally, and in her ability to communicate. Georges is unrelenting in his devotion to her, but he's heartbroken watching this formerly regal pianist, this queen-like woman, slide from a connoisseur of Beethoven's Bagatelle in G minor to a child chanting Sur le pont d'Avignon. So Anne herself is deeply humiliated by her failure at maintaining the perfection that she lived by. She doesn't want anyone to see her in that state. Meanwhile, Isabelle Huppert appears occasionally as their sanctimonious but ineffectual daughter, but most of the movie rests on the two of them in their apartment. So Austrian director Michel Haneke's movies, Funny Games, White Ribbon, Cachet, they're always demanding, but often they just sort of thumb their collective nose at the characters and at the audience as if to say there's no morality. And even if there were, people are just selfish, evil hypocrites. It's a bit like Lars von Trier. That's why I was surprised by the level of love and despair apparent in this mainly uncynical movie. So Amour is a crushingly devastating study of love, age, and death. It's unforgettable. Next, Rebel, directed by Kim Nguyen. Pomona, played by Rachel Mwanza, is a young girl about 12 years old living with her parents in a village in Central Africa, but she's torn away from that life when a rebel army passes through and whisks her away to fight against the government. But she's haunted by what happened to her parents, and they appear to her now as painted white ghosts of the dead. They warn her whenever government troops are about to attack. So Kimona thinks that they appear whenever she drinks magic milk, the baby formula she squeezes out of plastic bags. Word gets out, and the local military leader, the tiger, takes her under his wing as a protected one, since he believes she is a witch with magical powers. So she's schooled by another boy, a storyteller known as Le Magicien, the magician, who knows which shamanistic talisman to use when and how to place them, just so. He's an albino, and hence he's an outcast from his village. And he's also considered a witch, but he's also the target of bounty hunters who like to kill people like that. So he wants to marry her. He's maybe like 14, but first she sends him off on a wild goose chase. Well, actually a wild rooster, a white rooster chase. If he can find one of those and bring it back to her, it proves his valor. So the two of them escape from the rebel camp and make their way back to her home village. So their picaresque journey, that's what the movie is mystical, absurd, and surprising, with children's games and lovely scenic shots interspersed with terrible violence on her slow trip home. These are two very original, loving movies that allow for entirely new techniques to come through. So Rebel and Amour are both playing at the Toronto Film Festival this year. Go to www.tiff.net for details, showtimes, and tickets. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.